when I'm able to give, it reminds me how far I've come. And when I'm able to give and I bring joy to other people, it brings me joy to know that I am being grateful to those who help me by helping other people. Like they call it pay it forward, right? So that's what I mean by joy through generosity. I told them that when we grew up as refugees, my parents didn't give us what we wanted. They gave us what we needed, right? And that's the difference. That's the difference. Wanting is a comparison. Needing is being grateful. So I say the less that you compare, the more grateful you'll be, the more joy you'll have, the more generous you'll be. An opportunity is available to anyone if we work hard and we connect with the right mentors and we focus on not just accumulating wealth, but focus on being able to be successful so that one day we can help other people be successful as well. But and within the, you know, thinking about the American dream, don't let your past limit your future.
Yay! Moin, friends, Tan Dinh Pan Nia. My conversation today is with Dr. Katrina Nguyen, a speaker, physician, author of the book Live to Give, and founder of a nonprofit to fight childhood obesity. She was just 14 months old when her family escaped by boat from Vietnam in April 1975 after the fall of Saigon. What she teaches me today is about generosity and how everything starts with gratitude, and that you look at your own story and your own blessings and use that to make impact on others, and also to give and help others to also be able to be successful. This is Tandem Panda, a podcast about language learning and sharing different experiences with people from around the world. So, hello everyone. Hello Katrina to Illinois. And I'm glad that we can speak together today and that you can teach me something about gratitude and generosity. These are the two topics that I could read from your profile. That's something that's important for you, I guess. And also, like the vision of all the work of yours, what I've could understand so far. Yeah, I'm glad to have you here today, and yet you can explain me that a little bit more, what these concepts are and how to be happy in general with these in mind. For me, it's a way to understand this. I would describe it. So what is that? What makes you or drives you, motivates you to really live and live this
thank
topic.
You. Yeah. No. Thank you very much for having me on your show. And to connect with me on a topic that's a passion of mine to discuss, just to teach people how to find joy through generosity. I think one of the things I always tell people is that people often confuse the word generosity with philanthropy. So when you think of philanthropy, it's like, you know, people who are, you know, millionaires, billionaires, right? Giving out a lot of money to causes that they feel are important. But if we separate philanthropy from generosity, generosity is something everybody can do. You don't have to be a millionaire or billionaire. So when I speak about generosity, I break it down to three main principles. Number one is time. The second is talent. And the third is treasure.
Treasure.
So,
okay.
Yes. So all of us have time, the same amount of time every day, right? And the talents may be different, but we all have talents. We have to discover what the talent is. And sometimes we use our talent to make money. But sometimes we should discover talents that maybe is not used to make money, but to make a difference and make an impact in the world. And the third thing is treasure. So the level of treasure is different, but the focus should not be treasure. The focus should be time and talent first. And then whatever treasure you have, you look at it as a blessing and how you can use what you do have to make a difference. So it's very simple with if you think about those three principles.
Is treasure something like resources that you have, or how do you understand
like
treasure?
So for instance, money is one, but not everybody has the same amount of money. But sometimes you may own something. Like let's say somebody needs a place to stay, and you're living in a house that is three rooms, and they are having a hard time finding a place to rent. And maybe you can help them by renting out the one room until they have their own place that they can afford, mm-hmm. right? That's an example. So I look at those things. There are people I work with in nonprofits who will partner with to help people who are struggling, like they lost a job and now they're homeless, right? Mm-hmm. Because they couldn't afford that. But maybe by connecting with people who have treasures, like extra buildings and apartments and places that are empty, right? And maybe they charge a large amount of money, but maybe they can charge less and still be able to rent that space rather than leaving it empty without any income. But you're also making an impact with the treasure you have.
I see.
That's an example. Yep.
And to go back to, you said the difference between generosity and philanthropy. Yes. Does that mean, or do I understand it right, that you can do, or you all have these three elements, strings?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that you have to be rich to be generous.
Yes. That's correct. Yeah. A lot of people feel like, I can't be generous until I'm a millionaire or I'm making six figures. But if you, like, for example, time, right? If we say I have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and yes, you work, but you probably have a few hours, in a week to go volunteer somewhere, to maybe feed in the soup kitchen, maybe find out from your local church, is there something I can do to make a difference in the youth ministry? Maybe mm-hmm. go visit someone who's lonely in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Check on your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor needs some help, like say just to take out the trash because they're living alone and elderly. Maybe to bring joy and you're able to bake some cookies and a cake and drop it next door. Mm-hmm. Write a nice card, wish somebody happy birthday on social media, or just make a phone call. Those little things, it can bring the joy to you because you're making a difference and bringing joy to other people. But it didn't cost anything, right? Time. Time is so precious.
Mm-hmm.
And I often will tell people that time is actually the most precious thing you can give people, because once you give it, you can't take it back. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like money where you let somebody borrow and they say, how can I pay it back? But time, that's it. The time you give 10, 20 minutes, 30 minutes is gone for that day. The next day, next hour is another opportunity to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. I really like this idea, so that you say everyone can do it and everyone has something to give.
Yes.
So all in all, everyone benefits from, or the greater or the bigger group benefits from those mm-hmm. actions. But I always mm-hmm. ask myself, what motivates you, for example, or someone to give? So is there something that really drives you, that you say, okay, I'm ready to give? Was it the process mm-hmm. that you have gone through? You say, okay, this is something I discovered for myself, or how does it come that someone realizes actually that giving is something to do, or something that
mm-hmm.
not really you have to do it, but you want to do it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this, that every morning, my husband and I, we always start out our day with a prayer. Mm-hmm. And how we start out every morning is we spend at least the first 5 minutes of our day just, expressing gratitude for being able to wake up, be alive, and being given more time to make a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. So to be generous, you have to start out with having gratitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we reflect on not like a comparison of what do I have? I have less than somebody else. But you look at your own blessing and say, what kind of blessings have I had? Blessing of health, for example, blessing of having a job, being in a home, just having food on the table, right? Though having relationships that are healthy, like having connections with your family, your brothers and sisters, your parents, you know, and having coworkers that you enjoy working with. So you focus on the positives. What blessings do I have, rather than comparing what you don't have to somebody else? Mm-hmm. So it always starts with gratitude. And then you reflect on your past, right? Where you started. So, and how far you've come. For me, so I will be 50 years old next in 2024. But I came to America when I was 14 months old. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a fisherman. We left after the fall of Saigon, after the end of the Vietnam War in April 1975. So when I left, we escaped on my dad's fishing boat. And I was the youngest eventually there are 10 kids in the family, but I was the youngest at the time. Wow. At 14 months old, right? And when we escaped on my dad's fishing boat, he had no idea like what was going to happen. But the only choice we had is we stayed. We had a risk of dying. So let's go out to sea and hopefully we will get rescued by humanitarian ships. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So from the fishing boat, we got transferred. I almost fell into the ocean because somebody couldn't catch me. But luckily, by the leg, the difference between catching by the leg, I made it to the other boat.
Oh my God.
And then we got brought to the Philippines, then flown to Guam as the first U.S. Territory. Mm-hmm. where we were. And I was very sick in the Guam that I required a doctor to do emergency surgery on me. And my parents were told they weren't sure if I was going to make it through. So they had to look for a burial site just in case I didn't make it. So I could have been buried in a refugee camp without my family, but I made it through that. So that's just an example of reflecting on the fact that at a young age, how many 14-month-old babies going on a boat in the middle of escaping a war, nearly dying in the ocean, nearly dying in a refugee camp? You know, nowadays, you know, if we don't think about our past and reflect on how far we've come, it's very difficult to be grateful for what we have right now. So when you ask me like, oh, what drives me to make a difference? Number one is my family's refugee experience. Mm. Like coming from, you know, my parents were well off before the war and had everything. And then coming to America, not knowing the language, raising 8, eventually 10 kids, and depending on the government to help you get to where you are. So our goal was always less dependency and so that we can give back. So we can go from poverty and then achieve generosity. So that's been my drive, reflecting on the refugee experience so that I can give back and make a difference and be grateful to the country that saved us. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I have goosebumps now from that story.
Yeah, people do when you know, because I don't share it a lot during my training as a medical doctor. But when people ask me why I help people, you know, it's not like I'm helping just to, you know, tell people that I have money. It's not that. It's like the drive is deeper. It's deeper than that because I want people. It's almost like I see myself and my siblings. We've been where people are struggling. We've been there at some point. So we want to give people a hand up, right? Lift them out of their poverty or their sadness and help them achieve the goals because every life has dignity. So we look at the opportunity to help people raise their, you know, their level of success and prosperity, just like you were given the opportunity because somebody else helped you. So that's how I look at everything. Yeah.
Wow. It's a beautiful view to look at things. And now I think I understand a little bit more the drive that you have. And can you tell me more about how it was for you to grow up in the U.S.? So
when we came from Guam, then in like my younger sister was born there in July of 76. And then sometime after that, we were sponsored by Catholic charities and we moved to New Orleans, Louisiana. And my little brother, the youngest, was born there. Mm-hmm. So there's about a 20-age gap between my oldest brother and my youngest brother. Wow. So he could almost be like a father to the youngest, right? Mm-hmm. So my parents, not knowing the language, they had to do a lot of manual labor type of stuff. So my dad would work in the, you know, grocery warehouse and stocking and just finding odd jobs just to make ends meet. And then my mom, the same thing. The skills that she had was helping my dad in Vietnam with like the fishing industry. Mm-hmm. So she found jobs in grocery stores where that's the skills, right? Like just dealing with seafood, fish, scaling and cleaning and do those things. Meanwhile, they also depended on the government, right, to help us with the young kids. So my older brothers and sisters, they would have to coordinate like the time that they would take classes in high school. And so that they had time to babysit the younger siblings while my parents had to work. Mm. And sometimes my mom would get called at random times and she had to go get work and they didn't drive. So they had to get finding ways to carpool with other people. So it was very tough. In 1980, we moved to California. And the main thing was that my older siblings wanted us to have opportunities for, you know, public education and public college. And really, like in the area in New Orleans, there's a town called Versailles where we live. There's a high crime. And there's a lot of like, you know, pregnancy out of wedlock. And so a lot of single mothers. And they wanted us to kind of see that if we go to a different environment surrounded by opportunities, that we will have a greater chance of success. And so it was hard because we were in a community in Louisiana where we were around Vietnamese people. When we came to California, it was less so. And it was a bigger, you know, community. So we had to find a way to assimilate. So learning the language, the culture, being part of church, youth group, and finding a way to find identity, meaning like we immerse in the American culture, but still keep our Vietnamese culture, Vietnamese language. So that's kind of like, that's what it is. My parents really emphasized, like, don't forget your culture. Don't forget where you started. Don't forget, like, it was tough, you know, to come here. So when you're successful, find ways to give back. So that's how pretty much like our growing up is. And actually I published a book, it's called Live to Give in December, 2020. Mm-hmm. And in there, I kind of talk about that as well so that people understand like, you know, where we started, right? A refugee journey. So that when we do things, it's not just to brag about it, right? It's because it's deep in our heart. We care and we've been where they've been. If you see when we talk about time, talent, and treasure, that's what the front cover
that's
is.
That's right, on the cover. Okay.
Yeah. So
that's so interesting.
And so from there, So after I published the book, then I started doing like speaking engagements and really sharing the joy I find to, you know, through generosity, because the joy is that when I'm able to give, mm-hmm. it reminds me how far I've come. And when I'm able to give and I bring joy to other people, it brings me joy to know that I am being grateful to those who help me by helping other people. They call it pay it forward, right? So that's what I mean by joy through generosity. It's really, you know, I see so many people, like, let's say they don't have as much money, but for them to be able to do anything for anyone, they just like in their mind, in their heart, in the day, it just lifts up their spirits because they made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful story. I see it also as if you somehow in a situation where you need or see things where you need, they really need the help of other people to, mm-hmm. I know, integrate into the society, or if you're or strange with a new culture or stuff like that, and they're really helpful hands to bring you mm-hmm. into that, and this energy that drives you to give it to other people or give it something back mm-hmm. somehow.
And I see that, like, you know, in 2014, November 2014, I actually formed a nonprofit called Faithful to Fitness, and it as mm-hmm. a doctor, I felt like, yeah, I have the talent and the knowledge and, you know, the expertise to treat patients in pediatric GI clinic. Mm-hmm. But one of the challenges for health and children is childhood obesity, right? Eating mm-hmm. unhealthy food and not being active and not really having the knowledge of what's healthy living. And I didn't see the ability to take the time and the resources in the office to make a difference. So that's why I formed a nonprofit and partner with community to make a difference. So I've been doing that since 2014. It's an opportunity to also give back, right? Wow. And give back, not because the person paid me as a doctor, but giving back and inviting the community and businesses and volunteers to come out and exercise with kids, dietitians to teach kids how to eat healthy, and take kids shopping, and being able to use a nonprofit and donations to help families budget and eat healthy, but they realize they can eat healthy and it's not more expensive. And taking kids to a farm so they learn how vegetables and fruits are grown and that food doesn't just come from a box. And teaching families how to meal prep, right? So taking time for that. But it's just another way for me to give back, yeah.
Okay, that's a so cool program. Is it something also that, so I thought actually it should actually been in public schools or something standard, so that...
It's not in the schools, but there has been talk about me going to the schools and teaching what I teach in my nonprofit.
Okay.
A lot of the kids and parents that come to us are they go to the public schools and they are helped by public aid through the government. So it's the main thing is that many times, like, they don't have the knowledge or the time or the motivation to make those healthy lifestyle changes. Our nonprofit gives them an opportunity to participate in that.
Okay. Wow. So many projects you do. Is there something else you want to do in the near future, or do you have something other things in your mind, or
so my first goal was to become a physician, so that was achieved in 2002, and then I formed my nonprofit, and then I published my book, and I became an international best-selling author with 11 other women in January. And October 13th here is of this year, of 2023, I have another book out.
Wow.
And it'll be with like 15 or 16 women. So it's the title of that book series is called Overcoming Mediocrity. So I share the journey from poverty to generosity in that book and my nonprofit work. But for the past 2 years, I've been building a career on speaking, like keynote speaking. And keynote speaking is my goal here is to share my story about the refugee experience and teaching people about the fact that everybody has an opportunity to be generous and those principles that we talked about today and helping people to see that there is joy when you can give back and that it's possible for each one of us to do that. So that's what I've been working on. And in fact, just this month, like next in another week and a half, will be my third speaking engagement in 1 month. Wow. So, but I do podcasts, I do live events, I do, virtual events. I think all of us have a story that we just have to identify what is our story, what drives us to make a difference, and I think we need to use that story of our life and know that whatever story we have will make an impact on somebody out there that needs to hear our story. So that's really my goal. My goal is to do that.
Yeah, I like that. So beautiful to really use that story and also to inspire others like that. And from how I understand it so far, you really live the typical American dream. And for someone who just knows the term American dream and really don't understand it, for me, for example, is it really, or how would you interpret that? Is that the American dream? And also people who are not so lucky or who are also a little bit frustrated is maybe the wrong way, but maybe have a negative view on life and stuff like that, can they also be helped or can the power of the community also can help them, and so that they find their way, not maybe not the American dream way, but something that they say, okay, that's, I find something my purpose for life, something like that?
Yeah. The way I look at the American dream and kind of the experience that I've had, growing up here as a child, all the way till now, is that the American dream is open to anyone that comes here, right? So it doesn't matter where you started. It doesn't matter that my parents didn't know the language. It doesn't matter, right? So an opportunity is available to anyone if we work hard and we connect with the right mentors and we focus on not just accumulating wealth, but focus on being able to be successful so that one day we can help other people be successful as well. But in within the, you know, thinking about the American dream, don't let your past limit your future. And that the opportunity to be successful in America is open to anyone who's willing to work hard and focus on work ethic and finding ways to make a difference and an impact in other people. So that's how I would define it. Yeah. And I think most people come here with that goal, right? They know that there's an opportunity for success open to anyone who comes here.
Yeah, that's interesting view also. So this positive view is so that everything is open for you. And
And I think, you know, if I were to say, oh, my parents came here and they didn't, you know, speak English and they didn't graduate high school or college, then how could I ever be successful? Then I wouldn't be able to do the things I do. Like I might say, oh, there's nobody in my family who's a doctor. There's nobody who's an author or a speaker or a nonprofit founder. But as an American dream, you say it's possible. You just have to seek out the people who've done it before so that you can actually do the same thing other people have achieved. So that's what I mean when you don't look at limitations because of how you grew up and where you started, but that it's possible as long as you work hard.
I like this mindset. And also we Germans are more like, think more negatively or how you say, pessimistically. What advice can you give us, for example?
Yeah, like I said in the beginning, it's just focus every day on what you can be grateful for, right? So everybody that wakes up a day, every day who's alive and healthy, that's one, there's already one reason to be grateful, right? You had more time on this earth. So that's right, one step, right? Everybody who has good health should be grateful. Everybody who has a roof over their head, food to eat, a job, right? So maybe you don't have all of that at one time, but you have some of that every day. So that's where I would start. If you don't have gratitude, it's very hard to be generous. That would be my advice.
Is gratitude and that which builds up to generosity, is that also for you, is that also key for connecting with people? Is that something where we really can get closer to people and really build this kind of connection and also kind of community?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the thing about gratitude is not to compare your situation to somebody else. So that's really important. When you start to compare and then it's difficult to be grateful. So I say the less that you compare, the more grateful you'll be, the more joy you'll have, the more generous you'll be.
Okay. So it's a thing maybe also which comes with more life experience, is it? Because I think as human nature, it's difficult, isn't it?
And I have nieces and nephews in their 20s. And I always tell them that, you know, the things I've learned, right? Things that in the past you might think is such a big deal, and then you go through it and you're like, that wasn't such a big deal. But in your 20s, absolutely. You're like, a lot of times they will complain about everything, that they didn't get their way, they didn't get this, they didn't get that, right? I told them that when we grew up as refugees, my parents didn't give us what we wanted. They gave us what we needed, right?
Ah, okay.
And that's the difference. That's the difference. Wanting is a comparison. Needing is being grateful, right? When you when you meet when your parents like meet your needs, you're grateful. But if you say, my parents didn't give me that, you're wanting something that's not necessary. That's when you compare, when you say, the other person got it. Why didn't I get it, right? Got that new car, got that latest, you know, toy or tech item, right? So that's how I would give them advice. In fact, many young people, especially my nieces and nephews, when they read my book, Live to Give, they said it's such a different perspective because they didn't get to see how we grew up. They saw it through reading my book. And they said, oh, we had no idea you struggled like that. Now we're more grateful to our parents, you know, that they provide so much that we didn't struggle. So that's a perspective, right? So
you also reach them. That's beautiful. Because I wanted to ask you, do they also listen to you? But
yeah, they do. With stories. They do. Yeah, they do. And a lot of times my older siblings, when they want to have kind of a breakthrough conversations with my nieces and nephews, they will often say, why don't you go talk to your aunt? You know, talk to your aunt. That's where they resolve a lot of the issues.
That's in this short conversation, I really have a better understanding now. And also how to start actually really with gratitude and build from that, or building up from that. You can really, it's just a mind shift actually. So how you see things. And
It is. It really is. And I mean, I can certainly, like you said, life experience, right? I can reflect back in my 20s when I was starting medical school versus, you know, in my 30s and 40s, it's different. All right. Even like the difference between an appreciation of my health in my 20s and then this is my 40s, right? So you wake up and in your 40s, everything is cracking, right? Your knees are cracking and you can't walk, you know, you can't be as fast about everything. You can't remember everything. You have to write everything down in your calendar. In your 20s, you can, somebody can tell you 10 things and you don't need to write it down. You remember it. So like a basic, that's a difference in gratitude. But you find a way to get through your day instead of saying, I can't believe I cannot remember that. You just write it down. You find a different way. You put more reminders in your phone, right?
I'm looking forward to it.
But you also do your best so that you keep yourself healthy and active. And, you know, sometimes a 30-minute walk after work is allows me to reflect on my day and my week and how many things I accomplish and how many people I touch and how many people touch my life and opportunities that were given to me, right? So I think sometimes that 30-minute walk all by yourself, appreciating nature, breathing the fresh air, time to relax and de-stress, maybe walk with my dog, you know, things like that. But it's healthy. It's healthy to take that time for reflection.
Right. If you have the opportunity to go back in your life, would there be some things that you would change, or are you totally satisfied with how it went so far?
Trying to think. Yeah, it's hard to say. I think maybe I would say that during my time in my medical school training and residency fellowship, I probably would have spent more time with my family. Maybe, you know, not just coming home for special occasions, but actually scheduling like, you know, every couple of months, come back for a week, you know, spending more time. Both my parents have passed away, my dad in 2018 and my mom in 2021. So as they got older, many of my siblings and I, we took more time to be with them. But I think reflecting back, I said, you know, we spent more time when they were younger. Maybe we can get more time to share memories, more wisdom, you know. But it's hard when you're in your 20s and 30s and you're trying to build your career and you just focus on that. So you're trying to limit distractions. But I think I would go back and spend more time with my parents.
I see. the end of every episode, I always ask the participants if they have a song for me for my playlist. So I have a collection of different songs about the world. So can you think of a good one?
There is a song called Blessings. Mm-hmm. And I believe the writer is Laura Story, Story. And it's a beautiful song. It's mainly like piano, and then she sings it. But I think you will like that.
Okay.
Called Blessings by Laura Story. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much today, Katrina. It was amazing view and how actually a different perspective combined with the story that's really makes you something like realize, wow, you also feel that gratitude. I feel it from here. And also I like that the idea how you actually go back and reflect and think more, be more grateful, actually. That's something I've learned from you today. So thank you so much for that.
No, thank you. Thank you for connecting and having a passion to discuss an important topic for me. And now, you know, hopefully your audience will go away knowing that they can wake up every day and be generous with time, talent, and treasure being the least important.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I hope you have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's it for today's episode. If you like this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. If you got any thoughts on this episode or any ideas for new podcast topics, feel free to send a voice message. Alternatively, you can drop a tweet or DM on Twitter. Maybe you even like to join for an episode. Links are also in the show notes. Thank you for listening and see you next time.